Hello and happy Wednesday. You're listening to Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy. And I'm very excited about our guest that we have in studio today. Not only does she have a beautiful accent, but she has she's an inspiration to me and to many for her beautiful yoga teaching. And as we sat down, clearly she's got a whole little corporate side of her that I did not know that will be very fun to explore on air. So welcome, Mariella. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Lindy. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a minute, so everyone out there is knowing, where is this accent coming from?
Okay, so I'm from Argentina. My accent, I think, is a mix from everywhere. I travel constantly for 6 years without stopping. So every time I meet someone, they can never figure out where I'm from because my accent is like all over the place. So
okay, it's, just, yeah. It's a mix. It's beautiful. Okay, but born originally in Argentina.
Born in Buenos Aires,
Rio?
Argentina. Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, is Rio even in Puerto
Rico? Rio,
terrible.
Brazil.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I should know this.
It's close.
All right. Yeah. Well, we love it. And again, I like to, again, with Let Your Color Out Life, I like to just talk to people who pursue their passion and purpose. And she is my favorite yin teacher in the planet. Yin is a form of yoga. In fact, I'll let Mariella actually talk about how you got into yoga and how you started teaching yoga. We'll start with that if you want to inform our guests.
Wow. Okay. So that's a long story, probably. I'll try to be concise. But so I discovered yoga when I was a kid. It's just a really funny thing. So at my parents' house, there was a huge library, like floor to ceiling, with a bunch of books, and I would always explore through that library. And when I must have been like 9, 10 years old, I found this book, Yoga. And I remember like the name of the book was Yoga. And it was a red book.
Were your parents into yoga?
No.
Oh, okay. Like, that's why it's
never.
Even more random.
Yeah, exactly. So it was so random. And I started going through it, and there was all these dance poses that my 10-year-old brain could understand. And I started like doing them, and I thought it was really fun. And I even read it. And then all of a sudden, that book was gone. So my guess is that it was a friend's, like one of my brother's friends or something. But that was kind of like my first.
But it just stuck.
Yeah, that was my first exposure to yoga. And then when I was 16, one of my neighbors, who was a yoga teacher, she started teaching a 10 p.m. Thursday yoga class. And I was taking it, and it was just fantastic.
And how old, you were at 16?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, most young people don't check yoga out.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially back then.
Yeah, and we go to bed at like midnight in Argentina, mm-hmm. So 10 p.m. is like perfect.
Yeah.
And I used to take that class every Thursday, and I just loved it, and it was just so fantastic. And I remember the feeling, even though maybe I couldn't understand the true meaning of yoga behind it, I remember just feeling fantastic every Thursday. And I slept great. And that was kind of like my first exposure. And then I started taking classes. And one day, okay, so this is part of the long story. So when I finished high school, I started med school. I went straight into it and I loved it. But halfway through it, I was like 4 years into it. I started second guessing it. I saw how much real hard work was ahead of me as a professional. And I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to work that hard.
Yeah, that's honest. Good,
yeah.
Good.
And
good to know.
I decided to take a year off. I went to India. That was a shock in many ways. Like,
do you think it was because you sort of subconscious had this like yoga?
Maybe. Like, I always wonder why India, especially because it was like the first time I ever left Argentina, mm-hmm. I went to India. So the culture shock was significant.
Yeah.
And I started taking like all these different types of classes. And I was fascinated by it. It was my year off. I never came back to school. So technically, I'm still in that year off from med school.
How many years ago was this?
So I was 23, so it's 12 years ago.
Okay, well, that's a good year.
Yeah. And eventually, I made it to Australia, and I lived there for a year. And I was teaching Spanish, and one of my students said, hey, I'm a yoga teacher. We're starting to do a teacher training. Would you like to trade Spanish for yoga? I was like, I mean, sure. I miss yoga. Yeah. Australia's expensive. Let's do it.
Yeah.
For sure. And I became a yoga teacher then.
Okay, so you got your certification in Australia.
I got my 200 hours there. Mm-hmm.
Fast forward down the road, and now you're in Sandpoint. And how long have you been in Sandpoint?
Living permanently here, this is my fourth year.
Okay, and Mary Ellen and I have gone, we go back actually quite a ways. She was one of our favorite teachers for Underground Kindness when we were teaching yoga in both jail and in the schools. So we've had quite a fun history. And again, this interview, we're going to cut to a break, and then we'll come back and get into a little more of it. But this interview is really was intended to just be to promote that concept of being good to yourself, and a way to do that is yoga. And when we come back, we'll get into a little bit more why Mariella got into it and why it pretty much helped her with where she is today. Thank you for listening to Let Your Color Out. All right. Well, we are back, and we're talking with Mariella, and she is a beautiful soul that teaches yoga in our community, and talked a little bit about what prompted that seed in her. And Mariella, one of your classes, I mean, honestly, what I think I love the most about them is that you weave a story in, and you start out on one side, and you make it this whole experience. Tell us kind of a little bit about what got you into your style of yoga, and maybe even for those listening, because again, we're just talking to people in this region, and what is yin? Maybe people don't necessarily know, because that is your focus, correct?
Yeah, so I teach yin, and I also teach vinyasa, so both styles, and they are both very different, and I teach them, I think that there are some similarities in my form, in my way of teaching both. But yeah, we can talk about them separately. I think to answer your first question, the thing that formed me, I think, is just the exposure that I've had. As I mentioned, I traveled for many years on my own. So I've been exposed to not only thousands of different teachers and classes in different cultures and countries, but also I have taught thousands of different students from everywhere. So I feel like that I've been stealing a little bit here and there from all the teachers that I've met, and that kind of like formed my way of teaching, which I also think that always evolves and always changes, mm-hmm. as everything does.
Absolutely.
So it's funny that you mentioned telling the story, because I love that the way that you saw it, because that's kind of like what I mean.
That was what you intended, and it actually works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I never planned my classes because I feel
planning is restrictive.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And sometimes mm-hmm. many teachers may plan a class focused on, let's say, lower back, and then a student shows up that has a hurting lower back, and then the plan goes out the window. So
absolutely.
Planning classes, at least for me, never works. I always try to read the room and do my best and connect with students. And as I always say, as I always encourage my students to practice from a place of intuition, I always try to teach from a place of intuition. So I always try to see where everybody's at and what kind of like what they need, and go there and see where it takes us. And I plan it as we go. And sometimes we go full circle, sometimes we go back and forth, and it just like we go with the flow, which is what motivates me.
The intuition. I think you're really good at reading the room, and I think that is a really fun thing about being a yoga teacher, is you can just really commune with your students, and mm-hmm. they'll, if you see someone struggling in a position, it might open up another, like I know when I teach, it's like, oh gosh, we might need to open up that shoulder, let's do a little shoulder something or thread the needle or something just to get some movement in the shoulder if you see that one of your students is maybe restricting.
Absolutely. If a class is it's unidirectional, then it just doesn't work. It has to be both ways. So I'm giving, but I'm also receiving from my students, and same for the students, they are giving a lot. And we create the class together. That's kind of the way I see it.
One of the things you said when you were talking in your introduction is that you remember how you feel after yoga. And again, I think that's one of the reasons I I used to do quite a bit of these shows around wellness, and yoga was always a big piece of that. And then I kind of moved away from it. But it brought me back to when I had class with her. It really leaves you with this feeling of calm, mm-hmm. deep calm. And like, you know, it drops us into the present moment, which is also another real thing I like to advocate for, because that's where really we only have control over this moment in time.
Yeah, 100%. And yoga guides us through mindfulness. So the moment we are mindful, we're present, as you said, we get to feel ourselves. We get rid of all the distractions that we have going on almost constantly in our daily basis. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So for the duration of the class, all that there is us, period. There's nothing else. There's no room for anything else. And the moment we feel ourselves, of course it feels fantastic because we are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to connect with that.
We get to live within our light, you know, shine our light. And the other thing that's so beautiful about yoga in general, not just, again, this is a class just talking with Mariella, but I mean, any yoga class, any teacher, they've done a lot of their own personal work, and they hold a really sort of safe, sacred space that there is no competition and there is no judgment. There is nothing but sort of this form of acceptance. And that's one of the things that I think why I took to yoga so much.
Absolutely. I think yoga is a very generous activity to practice and to teach and to share in any way. There's no judgment. Like that goes literally against the foundations of yoga. There's no judgment.
Exactly. Yeah. When you've done the 200-hour training, I mean, they have all of the...
Yeah, exactly. There's no judgment.
The naughties.
And as I said, all that matters at that moment is your own presence. Doesn't matter what the other person is doing, not even what the teacher is saying. That's mm-hmm. why it's usually a catchphrase of mine in my classes is, I'm just giving you ideas of what to do. Do
you
whatever
do
you want.
Say that. I always like to say, I'm just a guide giving you, I'm offering you. And then if you stay in a pose longer, great. That's
exactly.
what your body, it teaches you to listen to yourself mm-hmm. and what your body needs.
Yeah. Yeah. I see my classes as a way of, here's a chunk of time for you to feel your body, to move if you want to breathe if you want to. I'll be guiding you. Take it or leave it. Doesn't matter. Just take this time for yourself. And yin is particularly special when it comes to that, because for the people that don't know what yin is basically a very, very slow type of yoga. We stretch, we breathe, we meditate, and we hold poses for 5 minutes at a time. Nothing crazy. We're not holding a headstand or the Warrior Three or anything like that. We're just stretching. We're on the floor. We are releasing. We are surrendering. And that's when things come up. And there is some research that backs up the fact that the fascia, that tissue, that connective tissue that we have, kind of like covering all of our muscles, holds emotions. And in yin, it's physically when we're holding the pose, the fascia releases, emotions come up.
Mm-hmm.
And we get breakthroughs, and we get memories that we didn't even know we have. And we get the opportunity of either working through them or letting them go or bearing them back down and hoping for a better time to deal with them. So yin is definitely very special.
Yeah, I think certainly speaking from my own experience, and I don't know if you've had these, but sometimes you'll be doing a posture. And like I remember one time I was doing a camel, which is a pretty basic heart opener. You're reaching back, really opening the heart and reaching for your heels. And I just had this massive breakdown, like who knows where it came from. And wow. It was so bizarre. And I, you know, and the teacher's like, you know, just take a child's pose and just go with it. And I think sometimes that's really it is a healthy thing. It's a great form of release. So that now, I mean, at first I was like kind of mortified. I was in my 200-hour training and this is happening, you know, but it is such a, I look forward to any of that because it just moves any stuck emotion in tissues.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said, it connects you with yourself. So whatever you're holding, there's a chance that it might arise. And it's up to you to do anything about it or not. Like mm-hmm. we always have the choice. But yoga is also a constant reminder of the impermanence of things. So even if something heavy arises, a bad memory or a weird sensation, it doesn't matter because it will not stay there forever.
That's impermanence is such a interesting word, but it's so very true. I mean, one of the ways I would always, you know, look at it with the multiple sclerosis that that shares this body, was that this too shall pass. You know, I need to just let myself be a couch potato for a minute and move through it. And it isn't permanent.
Yeah, absolutely. So impermanence, anicca, the Buddhists call it. I've heard of impermanence in yoga before, but I feel like I truly learned about it in 2016. I sat for a Vipassana meditation, which is a 10-day long silent meditation that's by far the hardest thing I've ever done.
Absolutely.
And it was just so challenging in every possible way. Going into it, I thought that it was going to be physically challenging because you literally sit down for 14 hours a day to meditate.
Can you move?
No, you cannot move. You cannot write or read or talk to anyone or look at anybody in the eyes. There's nothing.
And you sit with a group of people.
Yeah, but everybody's minding their own business. And this is the hardest thing. So I did it in Nepal, in the Himalayas. The view was stunning. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I could not take pictures. I could not talk to anybody about it. I could not share that. It was just for me. And I had to understand that. And that was such a powerful teaching. But again, the hardest thing was not the physical aspect of it. The hardest thing was to observe your own mind. Because the moment you sit down and you stop moving and you don't have any distractions, the mind goes wild. And you face everything. But the first 7 days were incredibly challenging. But on day 8, I woke up and I was like blissful. It was just so peacefully
quiet.
Blissfully quiet, peacefully at ease, incredibly happy. And because I had finally understood that nothing matters. Nothing. All that matters is the very present moment. And to me, that very present moment was absolutely stunning. So I was just stunning, enjoying that.
I love everything you're saying. I agree. But then what do you, you know, we've got people out there like, what do you, I mean, I've got bills to pay. I've got all these things I got to do. How do you speak to that? You know, I mean, it's just, we have to live in reality too. And sometimes I have found myself staying so deep in that moment that I almost withdraw. And I'm wondering if you can just shed some new perspective there.
Yeah, I mean, in a utopian world, we would live like monks, of course, like in silence, in retreat, in bliss. But that is not applicable to our lifestyle. So at least what I did after my Vipassana, which happened by accident, a very good friend of mine kind of like talked to me about it. There was room for me. We ended up going, and it was a very special thing that we shared. But I took parts of the practice with me. And again, like the most important thing that I took with me was anicca, was that concept of impermanence. And having lived through that impermanence of the pain,
yeah,
I understood it. So I took with me that understanding. And
what a gift.
Yeah, exactly. And not every day, but at least a little bit every day, a moment every day, I find myself reminding myself of, like, hey, it doesn't matter. And it's so easy to get caught up in the mechanics of the world and the to-do lists and the holding a grudge. But at some point, maybe I'm in that space for a couple of weeks or a couple of days or whatever, and then it's, at some point it hits me, oh, wait, it doesn't matter. It's past already. Like, it doesn't matter.
It too shall pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I think just knowing that and having that in your little toolbox, it's useful to like tap into that every now and then and remind yourself that.
And it's, you know, I think one of the things we're finding is that as we're having this sort of spiritual awakening, you know, that we can't all go live in a monastery up on a mountaintop. So how do we live our most compassionate, kind, loving self in this world?
I usually talk about it and think about it a lot because it's so easy to fall into the cracks of judgment and, oh, that's not what I would do. And why are they, and getting angry, especially lately, these past few years have been really rough on everybody. But I feel like seeing the other person is so important. And the only way of seeing the other person and feeling compassion is connecting with ourselves. The moment we connect with ourselves, and again, we come back to the presence that we get through yoga. The moment we connect to with ourselves, the moment we feel ourselves, we identify aspects of ourselves, that's when we can relate. That's when we can find parts of ourselves in others. And that's what connects us.
I mean, all aspects. We are each other on so many levels at different points
in time.
Mm-hmm.
And even think it's small things like you go out for dinner and you put a little bit of effort, you dress nicely, you're wearing your favorite shoes or whatever, and then you go to a restaurant, someone else is also looking nice, and you recognize the effort that that person put into feeling great and looking great, mm-hmm. and you feel it too because you just did the same thing. So that's a very mundane example, very simple, but that's a way of connecting and seeing the good in others, because it doesn't matter that at that point, that person, doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they are going to do. It doesn't matter what they think, their beliefs, doesn't matter. You share something.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Yeah.
We see each other. We're walking each other home. Baba Ram Dass, I love that phrase. We are walking each other home. So feeling that connection with other person, I feel, is crucial for a peaceful existence.
That is a perfect note to take a break on. That is beautiful. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We're having such a wonderful conversation. That's what I love about these shows. You're listening to Let Your Color Out Life if you're just joining us. My name is Lindy Lewis, and I'm talking with Mariela
Rebello.
Sounds better when she says it anyway. I thought I might have. And we've been talking a little bit about yoga. We've been talking about mindfulness. We've actually run the gamut, what got this beautiful soul up to, well, into yoga first. And actually, I had someone call in and wonder, what on earth got you to Sandpoint, Idaho? So that might be a great place to start.
Okay. The answer is a cliche, but could also be a long story. So the cliche part, a boy.
A boy, okay.
A boy, the boy, as I call him. The long story is actually kind of like, of course, it has to do with yoga because everything does. So, okay, I'm going deep into the story.
That's okay. We got a nice little blog.
All right, let's do it. I started dating when I was 18. I dated loser after loser, basically. They all sucked. I didn't know they sucked. Looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, they super sucked. At one point, when I was living in Australia, I dated someone from Australia who was a disaster. So after that relationship ended, I had to literally sit down and think about my choices. And that's when I went to take the Vipassana, because I was obviously not choosing the right person. And I couldn't blame it on them. It wasn't fair, because I was the constant in all this.
Right, absolutely.
So that was 2016. I went through the Vipassana. I understood what was going on. And I decided to just not date ever again because I was fine. I was just so happy and content and fulfilled with myself. Years went by. I kept traveling all the way around the world alone, just having the time of my life, going through difficult circumstances and challenging moments, but had to solve them because I was, if I didn't solve them, who would, right?
Right.
It was just me. And I just kept doing that. And I had accepted the fact that, you know what, like, I don't want a partner. And it's even growing up, I never wanted to grow up and get married and have children. That was never me. Even like playing with my friends, with like babies and baby toys and stuff, I was always the fun aunt that would visit. I was never the mom. So that was never for me. And I knew that. But I didn't know that I didn't want a partner at all. So years went by, 2 years, and I'm traveling in Costa Rica. And when two friends, and we're about to go to bed, and we're talking about dating and guys. I'm like, I haven't dated anybody for a couple of years now, but you know what? I think I'm ready to meet someone. We went to bed. The next day, we were supposed to take a bus to take us somewhere else. We overslept. We missed our bus. We ended up in a different city at a bus station with 4 hours to kill waiting for a bus.
Wow.
While we were waiting for this bus to show up, this incredibly handsome guy that looks like Leo DiCaprio, in my opinion, shows up carrying a surfboard, looking as cool as it gets. I'm like, okay, there's some entertainment for my 4 hours. I'll just look at him. He got on my same bus. We eventually talked, and he took forever to make a move. I'm talking almost a month that we kept traveling together. And he is from Sandpoint.
Oh, he is.
He is from Sandpoint.
Born and raised here.
Born and raised, yeah. So here we are.
So you followed the boy home.
I try not to. especially back then, I had already planned to live in Italy, and I had already done my paperwork, and I was ready. And I even moved to Italy, and he was going to come with me, but then his business here took off unexpectedly, and he needed to be in Idaho, and I wanted to be with him, so...
Well, this might be kind of a fun opportunity for you to just talk about a tiny shout out for this fun discovery that he did kind of through just being in the present moment.
Okay. So, my husband has a YouTube channel called Grindhard Plumbing Company. It's not a plumbing company.
Not plumbing. We went over this.
It's not. It's just a joke that backfires quite often. But, basically he and his friends build weird cars, toy cars, put real engines in them. They built a 6-foot mini jet boat, and they took it on in Ponderé doing their shenanigans, and they broke records. And
about how fast it goes?
Yeah. So yeah, and that's what why my husband needs to be in Sandpoint. Therefore, that's why I am in Sandpoint. So yeah, that's about it.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so that was Grindhard Plumbing Company.
Yeah. Just Google that. You'll find them everywhere.
It sounds like it's done a lot of fun, kind of crazy things, which are fun for the young men to just kind of live vicariously through what they're building.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And as we speak, they're on Baldy with timber sled, just having fun. So.
Oh, they're making a snow bike?
They have made. Yeah, they did it already. They turned a Hayabusa bike into a snow bike. Again, like they build projects that no one needs, but everybody wants. That's basically what they do.
So, is he a mechanic?
No, he's a filmmaker. So that's what I love about their videos. I'm biased, but he's very talented. My husband's name is Edwin, and he shoots amazing photography, amazing videos and drone shots and showcasing Idaho and its beauty. So definitely check them out.
Was he in Costa Rica? Was he on a job or a surfboard getaway?
He was on a surf bomb trip, just surfing and
getting out of Sandpoint for a minute.
Yeah. He was just a surfing bum.
I think that's healthy. I think it's so, any of that you can do is such a great opportunity to get perspective.
Yeah.
And then what you were saying with this Vipassana that you did, I mean, it does help you get clarity, oddly.
Yeah.
Even through the pain. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about your yoga classes, or yin yoga especially, because when I teach that or restorative, I talk about, you know, you need to move it to a place of finding comfort in the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And that is hard.
Yeah. And that's something that I always say, find this comfort within the discomfort, because it is there.
Yeah.
It's the yani that we have, that inner light that we have, the yoga books say. It's within us. And sometimes it's really deep, and sometimes it's not accessible, but it is there. So
why do you think it's important for anybody out there who's like, you know, I've thought about doing yoga, and yeah, it just sounds like a bunch of hippies and patchouli oil, you know, because I think it has had a reputation, but what would you say to someone like that's just kind of wanted to dabble but hasn't taken that step? I mean, I always ask myself that. It's like I don't want to advocate and I don't want to push, but I want to promote the body's ability to heal. I mean, that's why I do it.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. So, well, first, it's not a millennial practice for nothing, right? It's literally thousands of years old, and it's still relevant, and it's still practiced all around the world and reinvented and repurposed constantly. So there's that. And also, it's a very intuitive form of movement that connects us deeply with ourselves. Who wouldn't want to do that? Who isn't curious enough to see what is there for them to find out? Because we're carrying so much. We're carrying so much within us that we don't even know.
Just playing devil's advocate. I mean, I think that is a lot of humanity right now that don't want to look within and don't want to slow down. And I am not pointing fingers by any means, but I think generally speaking, you know, we're just on this hamster wheel. And looking in could blow up lives, or, you know, hardships could come forward and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yoga certainly wouldn't do that, but it does hold that kind of space.
Yeah, yeah. That's why yoga requires a little bit of bravery. You need to be curious and be a little bit brave to see, just to dip your toes, see what happens, see what you feel. Even if it's, most people started for the physical aspects and then they stay for the emotional, spiritual aspects of it. But
and the way they feel.
Yeah, exactly. But even if they just stay for the physical aspects, it's great. It's a very controlled exercise that is low impact, that it requires stretching and breathing techniques and gentle movement. I mean, everybody should try it at least once.
It really is a great strength builder without the... I don't want to say it is a workout.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. If you take a vinyasa class, and Mariella was talking about, she teaches both yin and vinyasa, but the vinyasa is more of a fluid flow from one pose right into the next, whereas the yin is you tend to hold a pose, you get right to that end range, that point of discomfort, and then you just stop and you try to find stillness there.
Yeah.
And both are... one sort of maybe trains, it helps the body so much, but it really does train the mind. Mm-hmm. And the other one really is more of a strength building, and your mind can take elements, but you can be focused on a moving practice, maybe. I mean, I don't know. You can speak to it.
No, for sure. And also, I've seen so many cases, so many students throughout the years, where they come to the class the first time with some movement limitation, or the first thing they say is like, I'm not flexible and I cannot
Absolutely.
Sit still. Mm-hmm. And then months go by and they just see the change and they stay. And I've seen recently one of my students told me, coming to class makes me a better man. So if someone tells you that, what's holding you back, you know?
100%. I mean, yoga made me a better parent, and it was because it slowed me down and I was constantly, I could find grace. I could find grace in maybe not knowing how to do something perfectly well, or I could just take that feeling home, even if that was the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like the plethora of benefits has so many levels. There's so much. I also saw a student who had some sort of brain injury, and the first time they took, they couldn't even stand without the help of the wall. And now they are doing literally headstands.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Within a year.
The balance for me with MS in the body, the balance was very difficult. But with practice and the yoga was huge in bringing that balance back to my body.
Yeah, yoga, it's definitely not a magical solution for anything. But it's definitely a tool.
And it is a practice.
And it is a practice.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come into the last bit. An hour just flies by when we're having such a great conversation. Again, you're listening to Let Your Color Out Life, and you're listening to North Idaho Radio. All right, welcome back, and I am, this is our last segment with Mariella Rebello, who is a yoga teacher, a talented just woman who has moved to Sandpoint. And again, I'm Lindy Lewis with Let Your Color Out, and I tend to like to find just colorful people that are contributing in our community in really unique ways. And she is certainly one of those, teaching yoga. One of the things I wanted just to focus on, should you be interested in reaching out and taking a yoga class, right now she's teaching primarily at WE, but we have the Yellow Room that is, I'll give a shout out to that. I think it's an amazing community space for people. Maybe you can even elaborate on where else.
Yeah, so the Yellow Room is definitely a very special space in town. It's a nonprofit, and they are focused on bringing yoga and other activities to the community at an affordable price. They are offering right now an unlimited membership for $50 a month. So definitely something to check out. They hold different kinds of workshops, and basically for anyone that's keen to learn anything and try new things, the Yellow Room is for them.
I think the Yellow Room is great for anyone who's maybe beginning as well.
Yes, yes. The yoga classes there are gentle. It's also a very accessible building. We have ramps and lifts, so anyone can access, and everybody's welcome in the classes.
And then, of course, WE for just a beautiful yoga experience altogether is always lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. WE right downtown. Yeah, I teach there 3 times a week, so definitely come check it out.
But not tomorrow. She's having a little holiday.
Yeah, just skip.
Yes, but anyway, all right. I think one of the things too about the yoga is that it's really a mindset. I mean, it really helps you get into that place of I'm okay where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to be anybody different. I don't have to. I can just do the best with what I've been given.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how your name and even your slogan, Let Your Color Out, I love how that says so much. And it kind of taps into what we were talking about earlier, that you have that little light in you. Tap into it. Bring it out. Let the color out, right?
Absolutely. We all have, and you said it early on in our program, like if we could live in our light and our highest potential and our most positive self, which I think all of us, like intrinsically, we are that way. We're wired that way. But for some reason, we play smaller, or we get caught up in the minutiae or the mundane, as you said earlier. And if we can somehow step more into that, I mean, that just is naturally where the compassion and the nurturing nature comes out. And boy, that just seems to be what's kind of missing on the planet a little bit.
Right? Yeah. And honestly, I do believe that we do gravitate towards that. That's why things like retreat work, because when people go to retreats, they are all in the same mindset, or kind of like they have this unspoken agreement that let's do the best we can right now to grow together, to experience this together. And everybody has always such a positive experience out of retreats, and they come out of
fast friends.
Yeah, they come out of them learning something about themselves, having connected deeply to a deep level with other people, and that is sustainable over time. So there's obviously something within us that makes us gravitate towards that. So the question here is, why do we forget about that on a daily basis?
It's a great question. How do you personally, you know, with a, you know, a big business that you're helping your husband run, how do you maintain balance?
So I try to live in the flow. So I have I'm lucky enough to make kind of my own schedule in terms of my work. So that's definitely a big, big part of it. But it's same again, coming back to yoga, as we always do, yoga talks about the flow of life, the ups, downs, the full circle, the impermanence of things, the constant movement. So I try to live that way as well.
That's
like
beautiful.
Not making many plans, just going, playing things by ear when possible, obviously.
Then not judging people when they have to do the same for themselves, I think.
Absolutely.
Is a big thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing when you become, I kind of call it a unicorn. I tend to be a bit of a unicorn where I just do the best. I mean, I flow with life, and or fluidity, not rigidity, is one of the things I write about in my books. Just that. And then when I'm able to offer that to myself, I'm so understanding for those of us around who have to manage it the way they need to at that moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, it has been, this is what happens. We get on air and we have this wonderful experience. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your experiences and your stories, both of them, you know, both the stories of how you got here and your partnership and just your challenge or your journey with yoga has been beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about yoga, so anytime, I'm always down.
Well, I do too, and if anybody out there is considering it, again, Let Your Color Out is all about giving a shout-out to yoga and doing, you know, some relaxation and celebrating the impermanence and of life, because that's truly where the magic happens. All right, you're listening to Let Your Color Out and North Idaho Radio. Thank you. And have a beautiful day.